Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I am Nick Reed. I know there are a lot of folks that get real deep into every single report that comes out about, well, a new study says this and a new study says that. And, you know, I at some point decided not to do that because I recognize that there's going to be some report that says everything. I mean, it's just going to be anything that can possibly be extrapolated or predicted, somebody's going to do it. And because of the nature of the media, anything that is different than the rest will be reported, especially if it makes things look worse. Then it's going to be reported on. So you end up with so much. But there are a few things that have been occurring that make me believe we are, and this may sound like an obvious statement, but we're kind of fading out of this. And you do hear more and more of these reports where they're testing antibodies and all that stuff to see who's had it. I think there is a good chance we are going to find out that almost at some point every American has actually had this thing. But the vast majority have never even known it. And that is going to give people a different fear level. I think it will be minimized, combined with the fact that we're just used to hearing about all of this stuff. You know, in the beginning, basically people feared, if I got this thing, I'm going to die. And it went from that to slowly recognizing, well, okay, actually it's people that have compromised immune systems. But you would still hear, and not just compromised immune systems, but underlying health conditions. But you would still hear stories about other people that, you know, ended up dying of it. But, you know, it just, if we combine in that some of what apparently may turn out to be tons and tons and tons of people actually having it, and people will begin, I think, to not be as afraid of this. Let me tell you what I compare it to. I compare it to the way people acted about HIV/AIDS in the 80s versus how they act about it now. And in the 80s, of course, we didn't know to a degree how people got it. But everyone feared that they could just get it. You know, they wouldn't hug people. You know? I mean, it wasn't, we didn't have these social distancing because the government didn't shut everything down then like they did now, even though that was something that was recognized as a death sentence. It wasn't like coronavirus where you had a point, whatever, you know, where we were arguing, is it 0.01% or is it 1%? It was, you get it, you die. And it's a horrible death, by the way. And we don't know exactly how or where it came from. And now, people don't really think too much of it. And some of it's because of advances, and we know more about it now as a virus and the advances in medicines that don't necessarily cure it but can extend life expectancy. And so I do suspect that while in some people's minds this coronavirus thing is going to be around forever, that our mind, there's going to be a slow evolution in which this becomes something that people are not afraid of. And I think, well, that's a good thing in my opinion. And I don't know how long that'll be. I don't think it'll take as long as it did for us when it comes to HIV/AIDS. One, because it isn't as dangerous, if you will, overall. But also because our attention spans are much shorter than they were in the 80s. And so we move past things a lot quicker now than we did once upon a time. Oh, we'll see.
It would be kind of nice if 1 year from now when I'm doing a newscast that we're not talking about it.
Yeah. Well, and we were saying earlier, and I know it's unpopular, and it's not against people who do it, because some of our imaging, you know, is all in this, you know, we're all in this together. I'll be so glad when I don't hear that anymore.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, it's not a criticism because everyone's doing it, and there's truth, and it's great that people are sort of like, hey, you know, that have that attitude. I'll just be glad when I'm not hearing it anymore because we're not in this situation anymore.
Right.
I'll be glad when we don't have to be there for each other any longer.
Right. Or maybe we can just be there for each other without there having to be a disease that causes it.
And we don't have to say it so much. But and I'm not the only one, obviously. People are just very, very exhausted. It's a human condition. You have to break away from this stuff at some point.
Well, and that's why there's so many protests. Let's be honest. Well, people are tired.
Yeah.
They're ready to resume normalcy.
Right. It's a combination of, one, people who are realizing, man, if we aren't allowed to move forward here, we're going to destroy our, my business, your business, our economy, people getting used to it, being part of it, and people being tired of it at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just all of those things that come together that are leading to these protests,
I can't wait to get
Well, and that's some of it, too. I think some of it, people are seeing more of these absurd examples that don't make sense. No one can explain. Tucker Carlson had asked the governor of New Jersey, why is it that you have declared going to church or this or parks as being non-essential, but liquor stores are essential?
Right.
And he was like, oh, well, that's above my pay grade. And, well, no.
No, you're the governor.
You're the governor, And so people are locally here, too, and they see some of the stories that the news leader's done that go in-depth about these business owners that are, any given day, they're told something different. And people are like, okay, this is not, I understand you're trying to do good, but this is wrong, and this has to stop. So I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah. Springfield Green County Health Department is holding a virtual press briefing at 10:30 this morning, addressing not only COVID-19 response, but also starting to talk a little bit more about the recovery efforts and what that might look like. Mayor Ken McClure, Green County Presiding Commissioner Bob Dixon are expected to be in attendance. You can watch that conference live when it starts at 10:30 at ksgf.com. More than 5,800 people have tested positive for the coronavirus in Missouri. 177 people have now died. Green County reporting a couple of new cases over the last 24 hours. 92 cases overall reported in Greene County. 46 people are listed as having recovered fully from the virus. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast: sunny 71 today, cloudy 50 tonight. Showers, thunderstorms possible after 4 on Wednesday with a high of 62, partly sunny 70 on Thursday. Current temp 46 and sunny here at the KSGF studios. There was a California Assembly Bill, number 5, that passed in 2019 that made it illegal for people of California to offer their services in exchange for money, in most instances, unless they became an official employee of that company. We know this is the gig economy. And in the past, oftentimes this would be called independent contractors. But with the advancement of technologies and communication, what happened was, and this was a fantastic thing, it made it easier for people to be their own boss. Be their own boss. Work when they wanted to, set their own rates. But what happened was, and Democrats are very big into being against people having that right. And that's why in California they banned it, made it illegal to do that. Now, their argument is that businesses take advantage of you because they don't offer you health insurance. And so you should not have the right as an individual to work on your own, be your own boss. If you want to make an income, you have to be reliant on somebody hiring you. Now, this flies in the face of everything that is about freedom and a human right. But as is usually the case with Democrats, the very people they claim they're helping, they're hurting. And this immediately put a tremendous number of people out of work. Well, now things have gotten even worse because you've got a lot of these folks who were put out of work because of this new law passed in California, and it kicked into effect this year. And then, of course, you've got the shutdown occurring, which has made it even more difficult. But what is also occurring because of the expanded need for remote working, there are a lot of job openings out there that are reliant on these gig workers or independent contractors. And because they're remote in nature, geographically speaking, wherever you live in the United States is not a relevant factor. So you could have some company out of Missouri that is hiring individuals to work as gig individuals. And, you know, you can work when you want or not, which is often one of the benefits of a gig employee. You're your own boss. And what people in California are finding is that in these job descriptions, it is saying people in California cannot apply. And that's because the Democrats in California have made it illegal for the citizens to offer up their services and to be their own boss and determine their own pay and their own working hours and their own conditions. Lawmakers at both the state and the federal level have been calling on Newsom to suspend AB 5 until at least the end of the pandemic. Republican State Assemblyman Kevin Kiley introduced a bill to suspend the law in February, the spread of the coronavirus and resulting lockdown, adding a sense of urgency to the repeal effort. Kiley saying AB 5 has left jobless Californians unable to gain the flexible employment they need to survive financially amid the state's stay-at-home order. And this is another component to it. In an era where you have the government, whether it's across the country or in this case California, making it illegal for you to go work for an employer, they have also made it illegal for you to be your own boss. I mean, they have created the perfect scenario for their world where individuals are banned from earning their own living and they are totally and completely reliant on the government for handouts. I mean, this is the utopia that Democrats have been working so hard and so long for, and they have created it in this capacity out in California. Opposition to the law is not limited to Republican lawmakers and local think tanks. More than 150 PhD economists and political scientists, including Nobel laureate Vernon Smith, sent Newsom a letter calling on the governor to suspend the law. The group of experts wrote that the law is causing substantial and avoidable harm to the very people who now have the fewest resources and the worst alternatives available to them. Well, this is what the laws that Democrats create always do, and frankly, government. Any government law that is meant to help you generally ends up harming the very people it's supposed to help. It's just usually it's pushed by the Democrat Party. Kylie said, you have people telling me they lost half their business because of AB 5, and now they lost the other half because of the virus. Well, because of the government shutting them down because of the virus. Quote, when it comes to economic policy, Newsom continues to outsource to the state's most powerful special interest groups. By the way, Vice President Joe Biden fully, 100%, has supported and endorsed. This is a wonderful idea for California. Not the repeal of AB 5, but the implementation of it. And Democrats in the House want this to be a federal law. Here's Parker Pageant. He's got our latest traffic. I'm Nick Reed. We've got our Heroes Appreciation Hotline presented by Elite Outdoor Innovations and Delta Roofing. This is where you can call and leave a message, if you will, shouting out to somebody you want to give a shout out to regarding the challenges and difficulties that have been created in this environment with the coronavirus. And part of the reason we did this is so no one got left out. Oftentimes, the people with the microphone by default end up choosing the categories that are considered to be heroes and highlighted. It's the nature of things. You know, anytime you see on television or newspaper or radio, they're like, your heroes such as this, 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 and this. And so that's where that definition occurs. And so we decided to not confine it to our, not necessarily who we think are just the heroes, but recognizing that, you know, oftentimes individuals that we may not think about, categories of folks we may not think about, and so we just thought, well, let's create a line people can call in, whether it's a specific person, it could be a family member, it could be someone you know, that is in one capacity or another dealing with this. You know, I hear everything from, you know, plumbers to those that do custodial services, those that do sanitation work. I mean, there's all sorts of categories. Somebody who works here went to the dentist last week, and I was like, man, that's a job where all they do is put fingers in people's mouths all day. So they don't necessarily get top billing, and that's what we wanted to do. So you can call, and then later in the week we'll start airing your messages on air. And that number to leave the message is 447-1825. It doesn't have to be anything big or in-depth, just a quick little shout-out. 447-1825, the Hero Appreciation Hotline, brought to you by Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate and Junior's Plumbing. And if you forget any of that information, you can go to ksgf.com and find it there. There is a gal by the name of Laura Loomer, and she, I think, is it Florida she's running? She's pretty active, social media. And, yeah, she's running for, I think it's in California. She's a former journalist. In an email to supporters, she is encouraging Congress, this isn't anything new necessarily, but to stop getting paid until they start helping small businesses and American workers again. And this is in the context of the small business loan dollars running out, and then Nancy Pelosi, they were going to do a quick vote in order to refund it, and Democrats wanted to use that in order to get funding in for things that didn't have anything to do with small business loans. And so they mucked it all up and then refused to pass it unless they got all their goodies in there as well. Nancy dismissed everyone, said, we may come back, you know, May 4th or somewhere around there. Leaving. So this is why there's been this halt to a lot of these dollars. So Laura Loomer has called for congressional pay freeze until such time that they free up these dollars, or allow for more dollars to be given in the form of loans to small businesses. This idea of suspending pay for members of Congress until they do this or do that comes up every so often. And I bring it up because there are, well, one, I get it, it's symbolic. But if there were to be any sort of real meaningful impact, what people don't recognize is that the impact would be on members of Congress who are most like you and me. In other words, not filthy rich like Nancy Pelosi. Do you think Nancy Pelosi, with her $24,000 refrigerator, is going to be impacted in any way, shape, or form if she doesn't get a paycheck? I mean, that is probably tip money for her that she gets as a member of Congress. I don't know. Speaker of the House may get a little more. But, I mean, this woman is filthy, filthy, filthy stinking rich. And, of course, she's not the only one. What theoretically I think a lot of people like the idea of is Congress being filled with individuals that are like us. Now, I think it's $174,000 a year they get. And for most of us, that's a lot of money. But you got to remember, that's two homes, one in the Washington, D.C. area. And while you can get a really cheap apartment, even if you share it with someone, I mean, there are a lot of expenses involved in that. And oftentimes when we think of $174,000, we think that in the context of our daily lives. Well, there is so that it's just, if you're making $174,000 as a member of Congress, you're not rolling in money like you would be if you just live here in Southwest Missouri or Southern Missouri or Central Missouri, and you aren't traveling back and forth and have that other residence there, okay? My point being is the idea of really punishing members of Congress by withholding their pay is going to have absolutely no impact on the rich folks like Nancy Pelosi, but it would have a tremendously negative impact on the average small business owner that decided to run for Congress, and that's their only source of income. And I think that would be an unintended consequence. I've heard people in the past say that members of Congress shouldn't get paid at all. Well, if that's the case, you've got to understand that no average person will ever be able to run for Congress. No one who works for a living as a and when I say average person, I'm talking about somebody that has a W-2, that goes to work, that makes $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 a year. Because, odds are, unless you have these other sources of income like a Nancy Pelosi, and I'm not condemning that, that's the way to do it in life, is to have residual income coming in from a number of different sources, diversifying in that capacity. That's the way to do it. But if you are only going to have members of Congress that are able to, have an income outside of that source, then you're just going to be left with those people. And it would be, great if everyone could do that, but that's just not a reality. It's just a thing to think about. Like I said, it comes up once every so often. People are like, yeah, they ought to not get paid until this gets done. And I think, Dianne Feinstein doesn't care. Nancy Pelosi doesn't care. And frankly, Roy Blunt, he wouldn't care. I mean, these people are so independently wealthy, that money means nothing to them. Springfield's News Talk FM, 104.1 KSGF. And Don Carriker this morning sent a text reminding folks who want to be part of the effort to get the government boot off the throats of Missourians. There will be that convoy going up to Jeff City, leaving the Pizza Hut parking lot in Stratford, just off the interstate. That'll be leaving at 9 a.m. And then, of course, there's going to be one in Springfield as well. And sometime after the 8 o'clock news, we're going to talk with one of the organizers about that, so you can have the details if that is something that you want to participate in. I mentioned Don Carriker, of course, in addition to being very active in a number of political ways. He also works overtime to make sure that you, by way of him and his team, you get the best home loan experience you possibly can get. Not just the best deal, not just the best rates, not just the best numbers, but the best experience. Anyone who's been through that process knows that it can be very, very stressful, particularly if you're dealing with some massive entity and you never even really get to know the person that is handling your loan. You're just a number to them. You're a commission to them. That's not how it works with Don Carriker, and that's why review after review after review after review consistently praises Don Carriker and his team for doing an incredible job walking them through the process and being available whenever they had any questions or concerns. Don Carriker, to get that home loan or to inquire about one or refinancing or any other relevant information, visit iwantagreathomeloan.com, because you do. And now, Don Luzader with news.
Good morning. A Postal Service worker in Springfield has the coronavirus, possibly exposing co-workers. A spokesman for the U.S. Postal Service will not say where the sick employee works or what they do. 13 of the workers are actually the Springfield Greene County Health Department last week talked about a case where someone went to work sick, but did not say what company was involved, and they are continuing to not say what company was. So we've been unable to officially tie the Postal Service case to the case the Springfield Greene County Health Department is talking about. Could end up being two separate cases. We don't know because they're not saying. So that's the latest.
I don't know if people may know this or not know it, but the information I've received, there's sometimes open for interpretation what terminology means, that when they talk about how, what is it, 65 people have been quarantined, or is that what the...
That's what the health department said about the case they were referring to last week.
So it's been communicated to me from those that are to some capacity or another involved that doesn't mean that those people aren't still coming to work. They're just told to not go elsewhere. So don't go out.
Ah, yeah.
That the 13 that show symptoms,
they're quarantined.
They are not coming into work.
Right.
But the rest of those individuals, I'm being told, they are that the quarantine doesn't mean that they're not coming to work.
Right. It's just saying that there could be up to 65 people exposed because they worked with this individual.
Yeah. But they aren't showing symptoms or anything.
Right. Yeah. So it all could be the same case, but when no one is officially saying anything, it leaves us as the media to try to tie things together, and sometimes we don't know if we can for sure tie them together, so it's kind of an awkward position.
Right.
The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to hear an appeal from Craig Wood, the man on death row for kidnapping and killing 10-year-old Haley Owens. The high court declined to hear appeals from Wood and another inmate on death row in Nebraska. The inmates wanted the court to decide whether juries must find all facts necessary to impose a death sentence or whether judges can play a role. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast. It is going to be a sunny day with a high of 71. Tonight, clouds 50. Showers, thunderstorms possible after 4 with a high near 62. That's tomorrow. And then Thursday, partly sunny, 70. Friday is going to usher in another chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 67. We're still pretty cool out there, 47 and sunny. A reminder, not only are we on your radio and, of course, streaming online at ksgf.com, but there are numerous smart devices out there that you can very easily and conveniently listen to the show, listen to the station. To find out how to do that, like I said, it's pretty simple how to activate those devices. Just go to ksgf.com, and it's one of the sliding tiles you'll see at the top there that rotate through. That'll tell you how to do that with a number of those different devices. Just another way, just to make it convenient for you. KDKA, Pittsburgh, PA. Joe Biden says he would take Michelle Obama to be his running mate for the 2020 presidential election. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee told KDKA's John Delano that the former first lady would be a strong addition as vice president if he thought she would accept the nomination. I'd take her in a heartbeat. She's brilliant. She knows the way around. She's a really fine woman. The Obamas are great friends. I don't think she has any desire to live near the White House again, he added. Biden did say it is still early in the process of selecting a vice president. Biden told KDKA, in terms of who to pick, we're just beginning the process. We'll shortly name the committee to review this and begin to look through the backgrounds of the various potential nominees, and that's just getting underway. He said that he would not commit to a woman of color on his ticket, saying I'll commit to that a woman because it's very important that my administration look like the public, look like the nation, and there will be committed to that. This is a direct quote, so that you've got to understand that. That's why it sounds confusing. It's Joe Biden. Committed that there will be a woman of color on the Supreme Court. That doesn't mean that there won't be a vice president as well. So, I mean, this is what Democrats reduce people to. Skin color, gender. So Joe Biden, I'm going to have a woman as vice president. So we're going to eliminate half the population from contention based on gender. Well, it doesn't matter if there's some fantastic picks in there. It doesn't matter if you could have just some of those brilliant minds, some of the individuals, because of their body parts, they are not going to be considered. Well, that seems like a very enlightened position to take. To eliminate half of the population, roughly, simply because of their gender. I was under the impression we were supposed to be above that sort of decision making. But Joe Biden, nonetheless, has made that decision. Now, so he's asked, well, what about skin color? Will you guarantee it's a person of color? No. But I guarantee a Supreme Court pick a woman of color. So what does that make? So what does that boil it down to? How many female women of color in this country? I mean, you're eliminating, 70% of the population? So Joe Biden, in all of his wisdom, he is going to eliminate a vast majority of the American population if he's elected president to the Supreme Court, not because of their mind, not because of their interpretation of the Constitution, not because of any sort of opinions that they've written. No, no, no. Because they are the wrong color and they are the wrong gender. Now, this is a great and brilliant, very sophisticated way to make decisions. Well, now, here's my question for Joe. Are you, when you say that you will only consider, let's start with the vice presidency, only consider females for that position, are you talking about biology or self-identification? I mean, if you have a guy, it's like, you know what? Actually, I self-identify as a woman. Will that individual be considered? I mean, I think that's a totally and completely fair question. Elizabeth Warren, you may recall, said that she was only going, let's see, she was going to have half of her cabinet would be women and or, was it transgenders, I think? And the pick for her nomination for the Secretary of Education would not go through until it was approved by a transgender child. See, these brilliant minds, is it any wonder that you and I can't understand why it is that they make the decisions for you and for me and for our families that they make? I mean, they are so brilliant. Their level of thinking is so deep, we can't even begin to fathom. And the audacity that we have as human beings to dare question what authority they have to tell us how to live our lives when they demonstrate the absolute level of intellectual brilliance on full display when it comes to making many of these decisions. I'm almost ashamed to even give an opinion about such things when I see these thinkers of our era, like the Joe Bidens and the Elizabeth Warrens, where everything is skin color and body parts. Springfield's News Talk FM, 104.1 KSGF. The Trump campaign has put out a couple of campaign ads. One of them is playing off of Obama's endorsement of Vice President Joe Biden. Now, most of it's visual, so I'm not going to play it for you, but I'll describe it to you, and we'll get these up so you can see them at KSGF.com. Though you may have seen it, because according to the numbers, the video that the Trump campaign put out poking fun at Obama's endorsement garnered more views within hours than Obama's address did in the last week combined. The video, which actually it wasn't produced by the campaign, but I think it was tweeted out by the campaign or shared, parodies an Allstate commercial with the insurance company spokesman Dennis Haysbert watching a basketball game with his friends before a commercial of Haysbert advertising Allstate appears on the screen. In the original ad, his friends implore him to change the channel, which he does only to find another Allstate ad himself. So this has Obama's head, and it is clearly superimposed over what would be Haysbert. And the friends are sitting around watching, and then on the television, it is Joe Biden, and it's that incident where he was at the swimming pool talking about how he used to let little black kids play with his leg hair and sit on his lap because they were really fascinated by him. And then, of course, all of the guys on the couch look over at Obama like, this is the guy you're endorsing, and he kind of like shrugs his shoulders. Now, there is another one that has, and this is the Trump campaign, I believe, regarding Nancy Pelosi. And while much of it is visual, you will get, because there is some wording, some visuals that are put up there, words. But what you this ad is playing off of Nancy Pelosi being out of touch and her recent interview on late night TV where she was showing her life as a quarantine individual in front of her $24,000 refrigerator and, you know, all of this $13 ice cream and so forth. And so this ad takes her life in quarantine while she's not helping small businesses with, you know, the money ran out. She refused to allow for additional funds for small business loans. She left, went back to San Francisco, said, I may come back in a couple weeks. We'll see if we can deal with it. Then the money runs out and small businesses are going under. And so this is in that context. And not just that, but people living in her area who are also dealing with the current situation. So here's the audio of that ad.
We turn now to that $350 billion fund to help small businesses and its workers get through the shutdown.
It will be up to Congress to restock it.
But Democrats blocking that move this morning.
They asked for $250 billion in 48 hours. I said, well, I don't think so. They objected, and I congratulate the Senate Democrats.
Speaker Pelosi, what are you going to share with us from your home?
Chocolate candy.
Thousands have been forced to wait for hours at food banks all across the country.
This is...
Oh my.
Chocolate, and then we have some other chocolate here. We just got to restock the ice cream.
You don't want to eat up everything all at one time.
I can't do it much longer. I'm trying so hard.
We're, shall we say, enjoying.
Having to admit that, yeah, we're starving, and
I like it better than anything else.
Taping this segment, there are 22 million people out of work.
This specific program is about stopping job losses today.
This is hurting people bad.
Other people in our family go for some other flavors, but...
Right now, it's survival move. You don't know where that next something else is going to come from.
I don't know what I would have done if ice cream were not invented. I just wonder.
Now, the visuals in that ad, and we'll get it up as well at KSGF.com so you can watch it. I mean, they are pretty devastating. What it has is you could hear the audio of it. There's Nancy Pelosi, and she's digging through her $24,000 freezer with these $13 ice creams. And then it shows an African-American woman looking in her near-empty freezer for something to eat. And it's just, it's that, the juxtaposition of Nancy and, the, you know, laughing about, oh, all the toughest part and oh, thank goodness for ice cream. And meanwhile, average Americans that are in desperate fear of where their next meal is going to come from. It's pretty, pretty good ad. Not if you're old Nancy, though. And then at the end of it, it references her. It says, let them eat ice cream. Nancy Antoinette, of course, let them eat cake. There in my life, certainly has never been a Republican that has run anywhere close to as effective ads as Donald Trump. But I don't think, consistently speaking, there's ever been any campaign or any politician on a national level that has run ads as effective as Trump. I mean, there may have been one here or there that you think, man, that's a really good ad. But the consistency where Trump is just really able to drive that message home. And I recognize it may not be him sitting there coming up with these ideas. But if he isn't, he knows how to surround himself with people who do. Because, I mean, he's a marketing guy. He's a television guy. He knows what resonates with people. And man, those images, those visuals, those sound bites all strung together like that, that's pretty, pretty brutal, but in a good way. Let them eat ice cream. Back to Joe Biden telling KDKA out of Pittsburgh, PA, that he would love to have Michelle Obama on the ticket. I think he should offer that formal invitation. Why not? Why not ask her? You afraid she'll say no? You know, Joe Biden, he says, well, I don't think she has any interest in this sort of thing. Wait a minute. You're telling me that the great Michelle Obama is putting her own personal life and wealth above helping save this country from Donald Trump? I mean, you listen to these people. We all know what's at stake, right? Our entire future's at stake. You and I hear it all the time from these people. It's just over. If Donald Trump gets reelected, it is over. We are talking about not just political life and death, or life and death as a nation, but as a world. We will not be able to turn back the clock on the environment, on the dangerous and damaging racist policies of Donald Trump. I mean, so if Michelle Obama on the Biden ticket would be a way in order to help save us, you're telling me Michelle Obama would say, no, screw the country? Is that what we're being told here? That seems awfully selfish. That doesn't seem like somebody who's giving back. Look at how much the Obamas have gotten because of the generosity of the American people. I mean, she puts out some book and then just basically does a goofy rewrite of it and sells it for ungodly amounts of money. Little trinkets with her name on them, all sorts of things she peddles in order to make some cash. And you know, they're buying these massive estates. I mean, they're just living the absolute high, all because of the generosity of the American people. You know, he didn't make that much as president. You only make a certain amount of money. They've gotten filthy rich off the American people, whether it's corporations paying them speaking fees or people buying the little thing with Obama's name on it, books, whatever it is. And so here, Michelle is going to have the opportunity to help save the country from utter devastation, a second term from Donald Trump, and she's going to choose that wealth in the private life over giving back. I mean, who was it that said, after all, you only need so much money? I think that was her husband. Could it be that she's a hypocrite? I love how, for people who consistently talk about the responsibility of people to give back, especially the wealthy, it's perfectly normal and natural and reasonable for her not to want to do so in order to save the country. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.